Hello, my name is Zachariah Wells. I will be reading some poems from my debut collection of verse, Unsettled. Unsettled deals with the Canadian Arctic, in which territory I spent parts of 7 years working as an airline cargo employee. This first poem is about some of the joys of the workplace. Forklift operator wanted, recreational facilities provided. At odd intervals, when it's all once again come to be too much, the cold, endless dark hours, the neglect, the fuck-ups, and I'm at the humming hydraulics of a 16-ton jouncing hooer of a truck, keeping her reined with steady, sure-handed turns round untold millions of dollars in planes. A lunatic flash on the verge of nervous crash, that diesel burning urge to plow full tilt through the thin tin skin of a Boeing or a Hawker, just to see once how deep her steel forks would sink. Management must have guessed this, must have planned it when the 48 overshot the strip last month, and they hauled its scrapped hull back to the ramp for me to punch holes in. This next poem is about some unusual cargo. We typically carried large loads into the settlements of Baffin Island and came out with very little. But on this particular occasion, we returned from the town of Pengerton with a rather pungent freight. Bowhead. I can hardly stand the rot our cargo wafts. The redolent fat of a Greenland right, this year's legal cull of ancient rights cross-stacked aft of me in plastic-strapped wax boxes, despite which snappy package, stench of Moktah drenches this hawker, as it did holds of Victorian whalers, the same reek at 16,000 feet as 100 stripped krangs corrupting on Pond's Bay flows, London's street lamps aglow and Oxford dawns dry neath baleen-ribbed brawlies. The same as it must have been, and still is, in this land that hoards scars and preserves what it kills, cached under stacked stones 1,000-odd years ago. When I worked in Iqaluit, the company provided us with staff housing, which was in a row known as White Row, ostensibly because it was painted white, but it had actually been the first luxury housing in Iqaluit, and when it was first built, only white people lived there. It was in a considerable state of dilapidation by the time First Air acquired it as housing for their employees, and was no longer quite the luxury accommodation it once was. And the living room of our house on the back of White Row looked up at the main hill in town, Astro Hill, on top of which was the only high-rise building, the bottom floor of which housed the Tulugak Bar, the only public bar in town, which was known affectionately to locals as the Zoo. And in the Arctic nights, when the sun scarcely dipped below the horizon, you could see people making their way down the hill after last call. This is Jack and Jill, having climbed the hill, come down again. Another shit-faced sauce bagger slogs and staggers down the rough-and-tumble hard-scrabble hill, barely picking a path, pursued poor beggar by a blotto-shrill Jill, bleating a litany of all the ill he has ever construed, much less done, topping it off with a maraschino. "You fucking drunk!" Jack, for all his peccadilloes proud upon reaching the top of the concrete steps, sways, surveys his realm, a pauper come king of the world, sloshed maestro conducting the sedge and the stone and the gravel-choked wire-strung choir of ravens. then stops, straightened cock stiff as if by a string stitched through the skin on his skull, and timbers, toy soldier arms stuck stoic on hips, a slow-mo, rigorous fall that ends with a crack, a sticky brown flow from his crown, and Jill come a stumble in laughter. Finally, I'm going to finish with a poem whose conceit I thought terrifically original at the time. This is a soliloquy in the voice of a deteriorating iceberg. I learned subsequent to the publication of the book, that I had been beaten to the punch by many years by the venerable Charles G.D. Roberts, who had also written a poem in the voice of a deteriorating iceberg. Roberts' poem is somewhere near 300 lines. Mine is a bit more concise, at least. This is the iceberg's 2 cents worth, shortly before death. At last, after creeping what seemed like forever in a dead crawl from no when, I arrived. A syllable struck from the tip of time's tongue. Then was I calved rudely, spat out, delivered unto the deep. A word unheard in still boreal sleep. Now I'm an unpainted, unanchored buoy, adrift in the currents, more witness than warning, unfree. I've seen the fabled passage unstopped, an unlocked canal, open for business in pleasure and trade, banal. I've seen huge screens, blank and blacked in, all but obsolete, blocking the dark season sun, felt my feet burn in a chemical bath, given rest to mutated, migrating fowl. I've seen people hanging from full Windsor nooses, buried under modestly whitewashed crosses. I've steamed under violent, unblinking sun. I'm melting, I'm melting, I'm done.